This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening and welcome to our viewers in the West. Perhaps not since the last space shuttle flight in 2011 has there been so much excitement and drama surrounding an American space launch. All eyes were on Cape Canaveral, Florida late today as the biggest rocket to fly since the Apollo moon missions lifted flawlessly off the pad. Surprising even Elon Musk, the billionaire CEO of SpaceX, which built it. The rocket was unmanned, but did carry one of Musk's Tesla sports cars aboard. The launch and a jaw-dropping landing, pushing the boundaries of technology and potentially opening new doors for space travel. Our Tom Costello is at Cape Canaveral tonight with details.
As typical, at T-9, 8.
Under a perfect Florida blue sky, yet another of billionaire Elon Musk's dreams roared to life today.
Ignition. Liftoff.
The SpaceX Falcon Heavy rocket with 27 engines thundering off the same launch pad that for decades sent Apollo and shuttle missions into space. This time, an unmanned mission to prove three rockets tied together could work in perfect synchrony, break the Earth's gravitational pull, and head for a journey into deep space. SpaceX Mission Control near Los Angeles, euphoric. And in a stroke of engineering genius, this. Two of the three rockets returned safely to Earth for reuse, setting off sonic booms as they broke through the atmosphere and hit their targets side by side.
It really feels like we've got a shot at going back to the moon, going to Mars, and reviving the spirit of exploration that was Apollo. And that was one of the things that got me so excited as a kid.
In Florida, the gathered crowds could feel the thunder in the sky.
It must be experienced live. I can't,
I see these all the time. This is the best one. By far.
This is opening the door to a new future of spaceflight for the human race.
Tonight, this spectacular shot of Musk's own cherry red Tesla with a dummy named Starman, don't panic, on the dashboard, headed for a solar orbit, and David Bowie playing in a forever loop.
Ground control to Major Tom.
A little bit of Elon Musk's personality coming out there. Listen, the ultimate goal of this technology is to be able to lift satellites and cargo more cheaply up into space and maybe ultimately build on this rocket technology to take humans back to the moon and maybe even Mars. Lester?
All right, must have been something to witness in person. Tom Costello, thank you. Not quite orbit, but another wild ride on Wall Street today. Dramatic swings as the Dow plunged again at the open, then rebounded before finishing up 567 points. So for everyone rushing to check those 401ks yesterday, you probably feel a bit better tonight. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent went down to the stock exchange to get a firsthand look at the volatility and what it means for your money.
First, a plunge.
You may be having a fake out.
The Dow sinking 565 points at the opening bell. Just 24 minutes later, a surge into the green, up 367. Moments later, down again by 236. By the end of the day, the Dow soaring 567 points at the close.
What's happening here? What's behind this rally?
You got a little bit of a bounce back, really, as an opportunity. Yesterday, the market sold off a little over 4%, was a really exaggerated move. Today, once the market calmed down a little bit, you've got opportunistic trader types that are running in and buying stock.
Traders say the large swings are driven by expected interest rate hikes, political uncertainty in Washington, and automatic trading set off by computers.
If you get a high volatility sell-off, and we had one for two straight days, Friday and then again Monday, the market zigzags back and forth.
In Washington, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin downplayed the wild swings.
We're monitoring the stock markets. They're functioning very well. And we continue to believe in the long-term impact of the stock market.
I think it goes higher in the short term. There will be a big downturn. When it is, nobody knows.
Financial advisor Elda DeRay tells her clients if the market's big swings are too much to take, they should reconsider where they keep their money.
We all have to look at our own aversion to risk and have to be able to sleep at night. So your portfolio should reflect what you are comfortable with.
Lester, these swings do seem quite dramatic, but in reality, today's gains and losses were about 2%. And remember, it is normal for stocks to drop during bull markets, and it has been a long time since the last market correction, about 2 years ago.
I guess heart rate's starting to return to normal right about now.
That's right.
All right, Jolene Kent, thank you very much. Tonight, we could be headed toward yet another government shutdown after Congress and President Trump were only able to agree to a short-term agreement to keep things running. The next deadline is Thursday before money runs out, and President Trump said today, bring it on unless his immigration demands are met. Our chief White House correspondent, Hallie Jackson, has the new showdown on the horizon.
If we don't change it,
President Trump could not have been more clear.
I'd love to see a shutdown.
He wants an immigration deal, or else.
If we don't change the legislation, if we don't get rid of these loopholes where killers are allowed to come into our country and continue to kill, if we don't change it, let's have a shutdown.
But the president's about the only one talking shutdown, with some Republicans to his face fighting it.
We don't need a government shutdown on this.
Democrats dismissive.
Speaks for itself. We had one Trump shutdown. Nobody wants another, maybe except him.
On Capitol Hill, there's no appetite to close the government again, but no plan right now to avoid one by Thursday. And there's still an impasse on immigration. The White House has proposed a plan that includes things like changes to family-based migration, which many Democrats find unpalatable. To sweeten the deal, the president's dangling the prospect of protecting more than just the undocumented immigrants living here under the DACA program, but also more Dreamers, those who are eligible but never signed up. Chief of Staff John Kelly today swiping some as too lazy to do so.
Some would say we're too afraid to sign up. Others would say we're too lazy to get off their asses, but they didn't sign up.
That's not sitting well with Dreamers like Angel Romero.
It disgusts me how this administration has been continually using this harsh language against immigrant communities, against Latino communities. It's just wrong.
His message to General Kelly?
You need to actually consider that your words do have an impact.
Hallie Jackson, NBC News, The White House.
Amtrak is under fire tonight for yet another dangerous incident. Two cars broke apart on one of Amtrak's high-speed Acela trains shortly after departing Washington, D.C. en route to Boston this morning. Amtrak says 52 passengers were on board and had to be transferred to another train. No injuries were reported, but the cause is under investigation. This is the latest in a series of incidents for Amtrak, including a crash that killed two people when a train was sent onto the wrong track in South Carolina over the weekend. Only 3 days left until the Winter Olympics opening ceremony in South Korea, and as athletes and some 100,000 spectators descend on Pyeongchang each day, security becomes a top concern. NBC national correspondent Miguel Almaguer takes us inside the massive effort to protect the games, along with athletes and spectators from all over the world.
An attack could come from anywhere. A hijacking, a car bomb, a standoff. These simulated drills preparing South Korean security teams for any threat. Protecting the games, an Olympic-sized job. Lee Chul-sung, the Commissioner General of the National Police Agency, tells us they've prepared for more than a year so the games will be peaceful.
It's not just Olympic venues that are possible targets. Intense drills like these are playing out across the country. Tactical teams are ready at airports, subways, even shopping centers.
A show of force 60,000 strong. South Korean Marines trained alongside American Marines stationed in the region. From snipers crouching in the snow to troops skiing down the slopes, there are eyes in the sky and boots on the ground.
Definitely ramping it up.
Special Agent Kevin Williams is one of the 100 U.S. State Department security agents assigned to protect more than 200 U.S. athletes and the 60,000 American spectators expected here.
We always have contingency plans ranging from everything small, you know, a fire in a venue could be one thing, all the way up to, you know, the more extreme scenarios.
The American flag is now flying over the Olympic Village. And like the athletes, these elite units have trained for years for this moment, saying tonight they are ready for anything and everything.
Officials say there is no threat here at the park, but security teams are dealing with another possible problem. A potential outbreak of norovirus has sidelined 1,200 men and women who work these checkpoints behind me. The military is now stepping in. Of course, folks are trying to keep the athletes and the public safe as the games get set to begin. Lester.
Miguel Almaguer in South Korea, thank you. And a program note, our live coverage from Pyeongchang begins Thursday night here on Nightly News. We hope you'll join us from there. Still ahead, a deputy gunned down, the third law officer killed in one state in recent weeks, the dramatic spike in violence there against those who wear a badge. Also, can you learn the secret to happiness inside the most popular class ever at this Ivy League school? We're back now with tragedy in Colorado. A sheriff's deputy fatally shot while on a call. He is the third law enforcement officer in the state to be killed doing his job since New Year's Eve. NBC's Steve Patterson is there and has more on this alarming rise in violence against Colorado's police.
Tonight, more heartbreak in the line of duty for Colorado law enforcement. In Colorado Springs, El Paso County Sheriff's deputies responding to a call for a stolen vehicle when officers were shot during a struggle with the suspect. 34-year-old Deputy Micah Flick was killed. Three other law enforcement officers and one civilian were wounded. The suspect killed.
These are tough days to be in the profession of the front line protecting our communities.
The deputy was killed on his 11th anniversary with the department, leaving behind a wife and 7-year-old twins. Family, friends stunned.
He just was a good father, a loving father.
Deputy Flick is now the third Colorado law enforcement officer killed in the line of duty in just 37 days.
Get out of here!
On New Year's Eve, Douglas County Deputy Zach Parrish was killed responding to a disturbance in a shootout with a suspect with mental health issues. In late January, Adams County Deputy Heath Gum was killed during a chase. Before this last string of shootings, Colorado had seen 8 officers killed over a decade. In all cases, the officers were wearing body armor. Equipment, experts say, doesn't guarantee survival.
It still doesn't succeed in all cases. People that are not complying with the police and who are resisting, that potential is always there for police officers.
And last night, yet another somber procession in a state where the thin blue line is too often draped in black. Steve Patterson, NBC News, Colorado Springs.
And there's a lot more to tell you about as we continue tonight. She won more than $500 million in Powerball, but now she says she made a huge mistake. And in the age of streaming, do you still prefer CDs? Then this news won't be music to your ears. If you're among the 60 million people in the Midwest through New England, brace yourself for a winter blast. Beginning tomorrow morning, heavy snow is expected from Ohio to Maine. In the mid-Atlantic, an icy mix could bring travel troubles, between 4 and 10 inches of snow expected, but parts of New England could see up to a foot. It could be the end of an era at one major store chain, with CDs following cassettes to a place in history, according to a report in Billboard. Best Buy has just told music suppliers that it will pull CDs from its stores come July 1st. The news probably doesn't come as a huge shock as more people buy and stream music digitally. No word from Best Buy on that report, but still a moment to get nostalgic. Think winning the lottery will solve all your problems? Not so for a New Hampshire woman who won last month's $560 million Powerball jackpot. By state law, winners are made public, but she's suing to stay anonymous after signing the back of her ticket without talking to a lawyer first, which she now calls a huge mistake. She later learned she could have protected her privacy by creating a trust to claim the prize. Up next here tonight, don't worry, be happy, the class everyone is lining up to take. Finally tonight, how happy are you? And is happiness something you can learn? Yale now offers an entire course on the pursuit of happiness, and it has quickly become the university's most popular course ever. Here's our Rahima Ellis.
One out of 4 students at Yale signed up for Psychology and the Good Life, or simply put, how to be happy.
When you're happy, you're like, this happiness is gonna last forever.
This class is just another way of continuing to ask, like,
Why do I push myself? Why do I work hard?
The growth of the class completely exceeded my expectations.
Psychology professor Lori Santos came up with the idea after research shows growing mental health problems on so many campuses.
We put them in a space where they feel anxious over grades, stressed about the time they have, overwhelmed about everything they have to do, and I feel like we might be missing their potential.
Each night, students have happiness homework, meditate for 10 minutes, sleep 8 hours, do something kind, and write down 5 things that you're grateful for. But don't think it's an easy A.
It takes a lot of work to actually correct your old habits.
She said to be happier, you have to decrease your social media usage.
So how's that going?
It's really, really hard.
But when practiced, students say they feel better.
This week I put that I'm grateful that I had 4 grandparents in my life for 15 years, and that even though I was stressed out because I had a ton of homework to do, that little pause during the day really made a difference for me.
If the students take these insights to heart, they could be changing the culture in a big way.
Life lessons that could help students and all of us be happier. Rahima Ellis, NBC News, New Haven, Connecticut.
And we are happy you're with us tonight. That's Nightly News for this Tuesday. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.